of the Christian faith. And we look to the Lord in prayer then for the beginning of our study. Father, we pray simply that the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the Scripture, may teach us today. May reach us down deep in our heart and teach us what salvation really is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have learned about the Bible. We have learned about the church. We have learned the facts about the Holy Spirit, about Christ, about God. And today is our number six study on the basic building blocks of the Christian faith. And that is on the word salvation that you and I are aware of and that we use it so much. We are saved, we say. Yes, you need to be saved when we talk to somebody about it, about spiritual life. And so this morning I would like in the most simple manner to explain to you what do we mean when we said, I am saved? Because someone may ask you, suppose that you say to somebody, you need to be saved. Usually we say, you need to be born again. What do we mean by that? Suppose that somebody fairly asks you that question. What do you have in mind when you said, you need to be saved? Well, our brother Shipley have read for us the scripture that I want to tackle verse by verse here in Ephesians 2, because I know this, that each time we look in a paragraph in the Bible, we say, wow, what a scripture, this is good. Then we look in the next one and we say, wow, this is better. And then we look in the next one and we say, wow, this is better. Happen all the time. I'm sure the you Sunday school teachers happen with you too. You teach one lesson and you thought that that was the greatest lesson you ever taught until you come to the next lesson. And then you see in the Word of God again another great mighty thought, another great mighty truth, and then you become aware of another great thing. And to me, Ephesians is in a special book because I made my thesis in the seminary on the book of Ephesians. True freedom come from within was the title of my thesis. And then chapter 2 is my favorite passage because it explains salvation in a manner that you can't believe it how simple it is. Explain salvation to believers, though. So if you are an unbeliever today, you're going to see what we mean when we say we are saved. I think that Paul does a great work here, the Holy Spirit through Paul, and explain to us in verse 1 and 3 what we were as unbelievers. Then in verses 4, 6, 8, and 9, Paul explained our present condition, where we are today. And then in verses 7 and in verse 10, Paul explained our future. So this passage is complete. Talks about you and me in the past. Talks about you and me today. And talks about you and me in the future. More complete passage, you can't believe it. But I'm sure that you look in the scripture, you find another passage who does the same thing, because this is the gospel. Now, we're going to work together and trying to explain what means to be saved. Now, suppose you are alone sitting in a airport. That's the place I most sit all the time. And suppose I was in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and there were four languages at the same time. German, which is the official language after Portuguese, and then Spanish, and then Portuguese, and then English. On the speakers, and everybody understood what they were saying. I look, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I look, and a wall of people going back and forth. And in my mind was the thought, I wonder if these people are saved. Traveling from one place to the other, I wonder if these people are saved. And then I said to myself, what if someone asked me, what do you mean to be saved? Here's the answer. When we say you need to be saved, we say that you need to be saved from yourself, from the sin that is in you. Salvation is not from materialistic purposes. Some people fly, a lot of people ask me, can I go to America to be safe so that there I can really live? No, sir. America is a place like South America. If you live in America and you live in South America, it makes no difference. When we say you need to be saved, we go deeper than a materialistic thing. We go deeper than a geography. We go right into the personality, into the personhood of an individual, into what the Bible calls the nature of an individual. First, you need to be saved from your sins, from yourself. Look what the Bible said. Verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Clarify a lot of things, that verse 1. King James Version, please. You have another version that have taken away some goodies here. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I want you to know the other versions have taken away the word hath he quickened. How can they do that? I tell you, they have no meaning then. Paul said this, that a man doesn't become spiritually dead. You know this? And you hath he quickened, an action that God took. Who were in the past, dead in trespasses and sins. The word trespasses and the word sins are the scope of our dead spiritual life. The word to trespass in the Greek language means to deviate. Have you ever drove your car in a complicated freeway and you took a turn that you never expected, and then 10 minutes later you end up in a place that you never expected to be there because you took a turn in the wrong direction? That's the word to trespass, to deviate. The word sin is the word amartia, means to shoot to a target and miss it. So that's the scope of our dead life. The Bible said, and clarified very well, that you did not become a dead person spiritually. You are born in that way. You were born with a mind who always will deviate from the truth and always will miss the truth. That's the mind that you and I were born. So are you sure, Pastor? Certainly. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I say it again. Children are not born saved and become unsaved and need to be saved again. That is not, such an animal is not in the Bible. The Bible teaches that we need to be saved from ourselves, from our sin, from our nature, because we were born in that way. Romans 5 verse 12 explain it. Wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for that all have sinned, clearly as can be. Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve. And the children of Adam and Eve were sinners. And the children of Adam and Eve were sinners. And from that time on, every child born in this universe of a woman and a man is a sinner. Has trespassed spiritually and has sinned spiritually. Carry on within the box of his personhood a dead spiritual nature. Doesn't matter if you are a doctor, doesn't matter if you are an engineer, doesn't matter if you're a garbage collector, doesn't matter if you're a janitor or a carpenter or a skilled man, every child in this universe is born with a dead spiritual nature. That's what the Bible said, Ephesians 2:1. So that verse clarifies, you do not become a sinner because of your neighborhood. You can live in downtown Brooklyn and have a spiritual nature alive like anybody else. Your environment doesn't make your spiritual life. I want you to tell you that. Now, it makes your life hard if you live in Brooklyn, or if you live in downtown Rome, I guess. Or perhaps if you walk outside the hotel in Rio de Janeiro where they grab your gold and cut your hand to get your wristwatch. But that doesn't change your spiritual nature. Verse 1 said that salvation is from sin. What sin? The sin that I'm born with. Now, verse 2 explained that in the state of a spiritual death, the only living activity of my life is like this. Verse 2. Wherein, in time pass, ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When you and I were only living with the old nature, with the nature that I was born, the only path, that's the word course, C-O-U-R-R-S-E, the only path in my life was under the control of one guy, and the name of that guy is Satan himself. And so today, that path can be seen in humanism. Humanism is the art of glorifying man. Man is great in itself. A humanism. We do not need God. Man is everything. Now, what about materialism? You need something. If you are somebody, you acquire something. Materialism. The desire to acquire. And then lust, freedom. I received a magazine called Life on the 60s. And I was looking on the magazine until I got to the picture. My wife said, what are you doing with that? But the picture on a magazine you can buy as fine as can be. $68 I paid for that magazine. In 1964, United States of America approved the women's suit for swimming with no top cover. They only have two lines like this, and they have the picture, women swimming and places on the beaches. Only the bottom part, the top was just two stripes like that. And I was looking, like my wife caught my attention. Where are you looking? I said, well, this is a fine magazine. I paid $68 for this. And I was looking, you know, among all the great things that happened in the 60s, that happened. But the article said at the bottom, that only lasts for 1 year. The Congress of the United States obsolete that type of swimming suit, and no longer in 1965 was available. So I came to this country in 65, so I miss it. Now, here is what it is. You understand? Man lust have no dimension, have no control, because it's all nature. That's all. You and I can be the same. No exception. So verse 2 explained to me that when a man has a dead nature, that's the kind of behavior he developed. A kind of behavior under the power, ingenuity, ability, intelligence of Satan himself. Then verse 3 tells me that the Holy Spirit has told all of these things not to tell the unbelievers how bad they are, but to tell you and me how bad we were. Among whom also we, and I include the Apostle Paul, you know this? Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy! That's not a great picture of Pastor Otero before he was saved. It's not a great picture of yourself before you were saved. But it's a picture, a true picture, an x-ray
of everyone who is unsaved. So when we say we are saved, what we mean is not that we are saved in America. We are saying we are saved of ourselves. Our own nature now is under control. Now, what's the motivation behind God in doing all of this? What motivated God to save a lost human race who have no desire whatsoever to look for God? You look for a man in the jungles or a man in the city, and nobody have desire to look for God. And a 386 passenger airline, I went and checked. I get up after the airplane, after 1 hour flight, I go on and walk around the hallways, and nobody is reading the Bible in the United States of America. And if I read the Bible and open my Bible in my seat, the guy beside me starts looking at me like he's going to go through the window. Why? Because that's what we are. By our nature, we have no idea. Remember, we are dead in our trespasses. We take the wrong path. And we are dead in our sins. We shoot the wrong target. Everybody wants to talk about economy, how good we can improve our economy. Everybody wants to talk about social work. Everybody wants to talk about jobs. Everybody wants to talk about anything else except the most important thing in our life, our spiritual life. Because they are dead. Then how God saved me? Verse 4. Salvation is by love. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Now, when did God love me? When I say I believe? Did God love me because now I come to church? Let's find out. Romans chapter 5 always has the answer to questions like that. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the Bible tells me that God's love is seen in this. Mankind and his son cannot see God, neither wants God, neither knows the way to God. And so God's love provides a way for mankind to see God and to love God and to be loved of God. That's the love of God. The love of God is that he provide a way and turn on the flashlight so that certain people may see the way into heaven. That's love. Salvation is by love. Now verse 5 explained to me that my salvation doesn't change my physical appearance, doesn't change my job condition, doesn't change my friends or enemies. The salvation does something in me that puts me in a place called life from within. Look in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. The word quicken is the word to make you alive. And so verse 5 tells me that my salvation is into life, a spiritual life, of course. I was spiritually dead, now I am spiritually alive. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Simple this. I never forgot this funeral that I did in San Jose. I went into the box, took the body in my hands, lifted up. The church was filled with Spanish people. They were crying and jumping on the pews. They were really bad behaving. A man died as he trying to swim right here in Coyote, and a very young fellow, about 17 years old. And the funeral home called me and said, you better come because this is a riot and you're the only one that can hold it, these people. And I lifted up the body and said, how dare there's this dead body? And everybody quiet. And I looked at them and said, can you talk to me? And everybody was doing like that. Everybody was really afraid, including the funeral home man who was there. He was like that. But nobody knew they are going to put the body down and say, now you are this man. You are as dead as this person. See, a dead person, I asked a doctor, doctor, what means to be dead? He said, what is your definition of dead? Because I know what the court in the United States said. The legal court, the Supreme Court of the United States, declared a person dead when a person cannot hear, cannot see, cannot feel, cannot have senses anymore, and cannot breathe. So have absolutely no existence. In other words, there's one word. When a person have no sensitivity, a person is dead. That was you and me when we were spiritually dead. We have no sensitivity of God. Somebody will invite you to church on Sunday. You say, okay, I go over there. So, boy, you're losing my time on Sunday in church. The reason why you said that, the reason why I said church is only for old people, I say that over and over and over again when I was 16, 17. The reason why I said that, it is because I was spiritually dead. No sensitivity for God. But verse 5 said, even when we were dead, even when we were insensitive to God, what God did? He quickened you. He pushed the button on you. I was in the interior, way inside, in Santiago del Estero in Argentina. And here this big gordo man, happy, grabbed me, you know, those cotton plantations fellows. They take the cotton with their hands, no machines. And so he grabbed me and said, thank you, Pastor. He said, I hear you in family radio. I was saved, and he squeezed me in his body. He said, thank you, I bring you my family. And then he said, I don't know how, but one day with my little Sony receiver right in the back, picking the cotton, you were teaching, and I wait too long for the broadcast to finish so I can get another thing. And suddenly he said, the whole thing made sense to me, and I stopped. And I said, boy, this is what me and my family need. And I knelt down, and he showed me on the field. And this place, he put a cross where he knelt down. So I knelt down here, and I found Christ Jesus through this little receiver. And the man on the box is here, he said. And then I said, innocently, I said, remember, this is a man from the farm. I said, you know, my brother, Paul said, when pleases God, and God was pleased to push the button on you, and you became alive. His children were him, one little boy, and the boy was touching the daddy to see where the button was that God pushed on. I tell you this, one day God quickened you. And one day God quickened me. So he took me from a dead spiritual life into alive spiritually. That means that now I understand God. That now I want to be with God's people. That now I want the furtherance of the gospel. That now I want the fellowship of God's people. That now I want to learn and learn and learn about God. And I want to obey him. And I cry for his strength and for power. The reason why today I enjoy all of this is because he quickens you. He makes you alive. And then, why did God save us? Why? Here's the answer. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 10. Verse 6 is to show security. Until now, the American people thought the dollar was their security. Today, they find in the market that your dollar is going down. So people panic and said, what are we going to do? Now, here is security. Verse 6. Talking about God's work in you and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That the first purpose of God's salvation is to give us security. I want to tell you that the verb made us sit together is in the past tense. And he hath seated us together in heavenly places. And so this is our security. If I am saved, that means alive spiritually, no longer I ever will die again spiritually. Why? Because God sees me today seated spiritually with him in heaven. My soul is in my body, and at the same time have a place in heaven today. It's sealed. That's it. My security of being saved doesn't depend on my faithfulness, depend on the faithfulness and on the work of my Savior. Tremendous. Verse 7, God secured me. Verse 7, God exhibit me, that in the ages to come, that is in eternal life, after this world is destroyed, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God saved me to, first, to secure me. Second, to exhibit me in the ages to come. When the earth will pass away and we will enjoy in heaven, we will know the angels. And God will tell the angels, now look, these people were dead spiritually. These people were off. These people never want us. And I saved them because I gave them kindness and I gave them grace. In other words, we are saved because God wants to glorify himself. There is no glory in us. It's glorious in him. And then verse 10, we are saved so God can empower me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has created each one of us different. And each one of us can perform that good work whereby he created us. And so the only thing you need to do is say, God caused me to do the good work whereby you created me, and he will empower you. So salvation is with a purpose. The purpose of eternal security, the purpose of exhibit the grace of God in heaven, and the purpose that you today exhibit the power of God in your life. Now finally, how this spiritual salvation, how this spiritual life can be appropriated? How can I grab this spiritual life and make it mine? Well, let me tell you what I learned from different catechism. The Roman Catholic Church said, through the baptisms of an infant. You baptize a baby and you place that baby saved. Of course, at 14 years old need to be confirmed, but right now until 14 is saved, regardless what the baby does. By water. Others people believe through church membership. They call the corporate body. You become a member of the church, and then the church protects you until you make a decision later on. That's how people think you can be saved, appropriate that salvation. Other people said, well, my mother was saved, my father was saved, so I'm saved. Through genes, genealogy. I wonder if some people think it's salvation by hypnosis. Verse 8 in Ephesians 2 tells you, how can you appropriate salvation? Look what verse 8 said. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. How the Bible teaches that you appropriate salvation is simple, through faith. But then you can say, hold it, Pastor. Are you saying that I need to respond? That I need to say, yes, I believe? Yes, I'm saying, yes, you have to. But Pastor, if I'm spiritually dead, how can I do that? Please look the text again. For by grace are ye saved through faith. In that, grace and faith is the word that. In that, not of yourself, it is a gift of God. See, God has that gift called faith. And when we respond to God's love, it is by faith. Faith in his word. But we respond because it is a gift. Well, Pastor, when will God give me that gift? Very simple. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gift of faith doesn't come by reading a physics book, by reading a book of theology, by reading a novel. The Bible said in Romans 10 and in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing what? The word of God. And so you read the Word of God with intensity. You deal with the Word of God with a mind that cannot comprehend it until the moment in which God enlightens you and give you life, and the Word of God becomes sensible to you. And you said, this is it. And I believe it. And when you say, I believe it, you respond to God. But you respond to God because He has given you the push to believe. Wow. Wow. Salvation. What is to be saved? To be saved is to be transferred from a mind and a heart and an emotion which is spiritually dead to God and now sensitive to God. That's to be saved. Doesn't have to do with the house, have to do with the prosperity, have to do with positive things, have nothing to do with the junk that people put today, have to do with the inward power, have to do that one day say, I don't care about God, and now you said, oh God, I love you. You know why? Because He pushed you all the way. Wow. Wow. You want to see it? I have an example. Exhibit number one, John chapter 11. Even though the Lutheran church had rejected in a paper last week, John 11, I tell you, it is clear. Even though the Lutheran Church and the Synod of Missouri have said that this is not the way they need to be interpreted, I tell you, I don't want to tell you how to interpret, I'm going to read it for you. Because it is not the unbelievers who are going away from God, it is the church that is going away from God and are going away from the Word of God. John 11, verse 34. You know the story, Lazarus and Jesus. And Jesus said to the girls, where have ye laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jew, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave. And a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. And she was right. For he had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now watch now the action. Verse 43 and verse 44. And when he thus had spoken or had prayed, he cried with a loud voice. He did not say, everybody comes out. Look what he said. Lazarus, heparchekomai, come out by yourself. Heparchekomai. The Bible says, come forth, but the translation should be, come out by yourself. Now, wait a minute. The guy was dead. And I know because I did it. I hold a body, dead body. I said, can you hear me? And I got no answer. And Jesus got the dead body and said, come out by yourself. Verse 44. And he that was like that, dead came forth, bound hand and foot with a grave cloth. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, then the disciples, loose him and let him go. Here's two lessons to learn, my brother. Salvation is by the voice of God. God is the one who saved. This pastor cannot save anybody. This church cannot save anybody. But the proclamation of the Word of God will save as many as God has ordained. And as I proclaim the gospel and I tell you that you are dead spiritually, and if you believe what God said, you become spiritually alive, then you will hear the voice, because God's going to make you alive first and then to hear His voice, and you're going to come out. That's the work of God. There is a work to be done, children of God, for us. Look at the end of verse 44. We have forgotten. Everybody who becomes a believer comes with what? The grave cloth. And we, the children of God, has been so bad in criticizing other children of God and talking about the sins of all my brothers and my sisters, how bad we have been. Because it is the work of us to take, lose him, to take the grave clothing of my brother or my sister, not to talk about it, not to broadcast about it, but to take that clothing off until my brother and my sister shines for the glory of God. Oh, we have a job to do. We have forgotten. It is easy to put a finger, but God said, don't put a finger, put your arms around somebody who has sinned. And restore that, take that great clothing. And the best way to help somebody is to share 100% love and forgiveness and forgetting. Oh, we have forgot this. Facts about salvation. Wow. The only fact I share with you is this. That you are not saved from famine. That you are not saved from having a bad time. That you are not saved from difficulties. You are saved spiritually. You were insensitive to God. Now you are sensitive to God. And you cannot run away from God. You know that? Because he secured you. He has you in his hand. Why he did all of this? Because I cannot do it. You cannot do it. Nobody can do it. So God, out of his own mercy, out of his own kindness, have reached out. And you are saved today. He has reached you. I think this teaches us all of this, that we cannot be proud that we are saved, because we have done nothing. Rather, we should become so humble that when we see somebody, when we see somebody in sin, we should be able to put the two arms and our head and everything we got toward that person to rescue them. I know I'm a grandfather, and my wife said, do not give examples about your grandmother, but I have not forgotten the women that I grow with. And she will say to me many times, and I had the pleasure to walk in her house, 90 years old house, in my trip, and to see her kitchen, where she cooked an abundance of food. You can't believe it, because she said the smell of this beautiful food will attract some people, and I will show them that I love them until I tell them about Jesus, like the American missionary told us about Jesus. Have we forgotten about testifying? Have we forgotten about sharing the gospel so that somebody may be a believer? As I go into the Lord's Supper, I want you to have a name to pray the entire week until May 6th. The name is the flower shop more larger producer in Morgan Hill area, the Tomasello family. This Italian family have called me because they need it. I met in a place where you can believe it, the riches and the thing. And the whole family around said, Pastor, I don't know what faith you have, I don't know what you are, but we want you to speak to us. How much for this? Nothing. 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 You know, amazing? I was so happy Saturday. I can spend time with people that were all unsaved. And the only thing I explained is, what is Christianity? What is this? What is the other? What do you people do in that little place? Why are so many cars on Sunday? What are you trying to do? Can you help us? They need a wedding and they need help. Sure, I help. Says, you don't ask questions. No, I don't ask questions. Jesus will ask you the questions. I don't ask questions to young people. You know how I love them. I don't care how bad they went in the road. When they come to me, they are fresh and new as can be. And I kept saying this with proud that I never had judged one of them. And it's not right for us to judge any one of them. Oh, if we can have the love of God who reached me. A man who say, I don't care about God. A man who reach you. Oh, if we can have the love of God in our heart. Many others will be saved. Will be spiritually dead one day. And there will be a spiritual life another day. Salvation is of the Lord, say the book of Psalms. Salvation is in our hand as we pass it on the word of God. And we see the work of God. Thank you, Father. Facts about salvation. We were spiritually dead. Care less about you. And today we're going to sit around the Lord's table. And we're going to say by this that we are one with you. Lord, thank you. Because I do not deserve it. Thank you, because no one of us deserve it. Thank you that it is our work not to judge, but to help. Oh God, thank you for Ephesians 2, who told me how bad I was and how precious is my salvation. Help me, oh God, cause me to honor your work of love. In Jesus we pray. Amen.